It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome to Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. In Braves country, we are so excited for you to meet our new proud sponsor, Billy Reid. Now, Billy is an award-winning fashion designer who is redefining global style from his home base in the Shoals in Alabama. He is also a diehard baseball fan who grew up cheering on the Braves, and he offers a line of Atlanta-inspired hats, t-shirts, and accessories that embody the soul of our city. Billy and his team craft luxurious, made-in-the-USA shirts, denim, and more, all with a timeless modern style that will have you wearing them again and again. Experience them for yourself at his two Atlanta shops, one in Buckhead and one at White Provisions, or discover them online at BillyReid.com. That's Billy Reid, R-E-I-D.com.
Swing, high fly ball, belt to right center, and the Braves have won it!
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
A walk-off homer from Freeman, and the Braves win it!
Welcome to Behind the Braves, presented by Billy Reid, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast from MLB.com, alongside Director of Braves Alumni Relations. And, I mean, look, I've been watching Fox Sports Southeast here the last couple of nights. He's a primetime star at this point. He's pitching almost every night, it seems like. Greg McMichael, one of the members of the 95 World Series team that is that Fox Sports Southeast is playing the entire 95 World Series this week on TV. Still got a couple games to go. We were going to talk about this at the end of the show, but I just went ahead and brought it up now because I was like, I was so excited to see you every night. It's been fun for me to watch you pitching. We can delve more into that, I guess, at the end. But first of all, real quick, how cool has that been with the 95 World Series re-airing in its entirety this week, Greg?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been nervous. It's crazy. It's funny to see my wife and my daughter's reaction, because my youngest is, you know, I've got three married, and so my youngest is living home, and her being able to watch it and see me pitch, and it's been pretty fun. And one of the first things is that my wife's like, oh, why are you the only one with no sleeves on or jacket? It's snowing in Cleveland, and you're pitching with short sleeves. I said, well, that's just the way I did it. I had all that hair on me. I didn't have to kind of insulate it.
I'm glad you brought. If you didn't say it, I was going to the Harry thing. The nickname, right? Harry was going to come back.
Now you see.
Now we know. Yeah, you were insulated for the winter.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I tell you what, a lot of us have been tweeting and texting back and forth about different things during the games, because I know everybody's watching, and it's been a lot of fun. And obviously, getting to talk to all the guys and sharing with them. You know, even though we're all watching it from our own homes, but we've kind of stayed connected. And one of the things that's been cool, we've been putting together a playlist of songs that we were listening to at the time. That should come out probably on some of our social media channels here coming up. But one of the things we're working on is pretty cool is putting together a live Zoom of us watching game 6, which will be on Saturday. So it should be a lot of fun.
That'll be really cool. Well, and if you couldn't tell, we are recording this episode Behind the Braves over Zoom. Obviously we're still hunkered down. Greg's at his house. I'm at mine. We're just staying inside for now. Although I think there have been some good signs of, seems like the news, generally speaking, is headed back in the right direction. So that's good. And we're hearing rumblings about what could possibly, how we might get baseball season started, and we don't have any inside information. I mean, I think we're reading all the same stuff that all of you out there are reading. So to me, that even if there's all these different wild scenarios and ideas out there, I'm like, okay, great. Like, however we got to do it to get baseball back in 2020, I'm all in. Sign me up. So That's exciting. I will say, before we get into talking about our guest today, it was fun for me to have been watching the World Series, and I know how it's all going to play out, obviously. But it's been fun to watch you pitch like an inning here or there, and I'm sitting there like kind of rooting along, like, come on, Greg, come on, get him back here. Here you go. Come on. That's, you know, and it's been wild. I don't think I've, you know, I haven't watched you pitch in whole innings since you were playing and since I was a kid back in those days. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to watch. And I'm sure you've been getting plenty of texts and all that. And that's mm-hmm. been fun. So, well, listen, let's get into our guest today, who yet again, I think we've got a good streak going now of, we make them wait an extra 10 minutes or so while we deal with our technical issues. And he was very cool about it. Adam Duvall. Adam's somebody we've talked about. He's been a Brave now since the trade deadline in 2018. And he's somebody and our show started pretty shortly thereafter. He's somebody we've wanted to talk to on Behind the Braves for quite a while now, just because he has such an interesting story. I mean, we get into he's type 1 diabetic, has type 1 diabetes. We talk about that with him. And managing that while also being a big league ball player and doing it in an all-star level is pretty amazing. You'll hear me mention to him that a few months ago, I thought that I might be headed down that route. It's funny. It's interesting. You'll hear him. The symptoms you hear him describe are the same exact symptoms that I was having. I mean, it was the same scenario. I was fortunate in that it turned out to be something less serious. Just hearing his story with that, and then also of going down to the minors last year and then coming back up and then being a hero in the postseason. I don't think we got into his home run in game two. I don't even think I mentioned or we mentioned he had the big go-ahead hit in game three as well. So, I mean, obviously that series didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but he was, to me, if you had to pick out one guy to be a hero of the wins of that series, he would probably be the guy. I mean, mm-hmm. he kind of sealed both those wins. So great to have him on. Just what are your, and he's, you can tell he's, I think I've become more of a fan of him because you and I are both from the South and he has a little bit of that Southern twang. I think he's from Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
Louisville.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on your first impressions of Adam?
Well, I knew I would always like the guy just because his story being a story of perseverance and obviously anybody that goes through some of the things that he's gone through with the adversity, I think that speaks a lot about their character. So I was very interested and excited to talk to him to kind of hear more about his story just because I know that you just don't do the things that he's done and to bounce back the way he has without a lot of grit and a lot of character. And so he's got a great outlook on life. He's got a very good perspective on baseball. And I think that comes out in the interview and it's kind of what I expected. But when I first heard his story and kind of saw what he went through, I definitely was a guy. So we got to have him on the show.
Absolutely. And thanks to Braves Media Relations for putting that mm-hmm. together. And of course, thanks to Adam for taking the time. He's got a little one in the house. So, you know, I think any free time is precious to him. So
yeah. He's newly married. I mean, he hadn't been married that long either, just a few years, two right. or 3 years. So he's got a lot of stuff to deal with. But I'm sure he's really appreciating the time with his family right now, knowing that when he goes back to work, he may not have his family with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So, well, without further ado, let's get to the interview. He was great. And again, thanks to him for taking the time. Here he is, Braves outfielder, Adam Duvall.
And it is going to be Adam Duvall. It's going to be the end of the line here for Fulton Avich. 3-2, two outs. McCann takes off, and Duvall in the air, center field. That is back. Bader at the wall, and she's gone! Adam Duvall, a two-run pinch hit home run. 3-0 Atlanta.
All
Hey, Adam, welcome to Behind the Braves. Appreciate you being here with us. You know, I'm not sure if you're following, but this week is World Series week for the Braves, and we're kind of chronicling what went on in 1995. And so that was a team that I played on. And so I've been calling all my teammates and talking to them, and they've been doing interviews on Skype. And one of the things that we're really working on is trying to put together a live Zoom kind of locker room for game six, where we clinched against the Indians. So that should be fun. And I've been getting like playlists from the guys of what songs they were listening to in 95, and just a lot of fun things. It's been a blast. But I was wanting to ask you, because early in your career, you came up with the Giants in 14, and you got to experience a World Series with those guys. I know you didn't get to play in the series, but you were on the team. I think you played, 28 or 30 games. And I was curious how, for you, being a young ball player at the time, how that shaped your mentality now as a player. I mean, it's been, getting ready to start the 2020 season. How did that shape your mentality going into each season now that you got to experience something pretty incredible early on?
Yeah. So, obviously that's the goal every year, is to make the playoffs and to, make a run at it. And, being a young player coming up in that organization, it was, there was a lot of leadership on that team, in 2014, and they had already won two World Series before that. And, they were on their quest to win their third. And just going into the locker room, you could feel the presence and the leadership of those guys. And being a young guy, you kind of just go in and just follow suit and get in line and just do as they do. And, so that helped me, from the get-go, just seeing guys and how they, went about, their business. And, they, like I said, they had already won two championships, so, which is really hard to do in 3 years. And, just to see the way they went about themselves throughout the day and how they prepared for the game and, how they handled the media, the fans, so it was a good time to come up and break through to the major leagues, as a Giant. And, obviously we went on to win the World Series there. And, I was with the team throughout the whole postseason in the World Series. And my closest to action was in the wild card game against Pittsburgh. But I was one of the ones that maybe was going to pinch hit there. And then, obviously Bumgarner went all nine, and, he had an unbelievable postseason there. So, it was really cool just to be a part of and be there.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing experience when you start thinking about what it actually takes to win a World Series, and to be able to experience that, as a young player is pretty amazing. When I think back about looking at the amount of people that get to experience that, some players go a whole career and they don't get to experience any postseason. So I'm always fascinated by guys who see that early. Chipper and I've talked about this where, his first year, he wins a World Series, and you just think, well, gosh, I mean, that was pretty easy. I guess we'll do that every year, and we were on a pretty good run for 14 straight years where we won division championships. But as you well know, you've played a little bit longer now. It's just not that easy. But being in the Braves organization now, I think you're seeing the potential that this is something we could go on another run, and this team is prepped for going deep in the world into the postseason again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, I was talking to my wife the other day about, I really want to get this season going, because, after the past 2 years, we've gotten to the playoffs, and, we haven't gotten as far as we want to go, but, just getting the season going and getting into that mode of, let's make it to the playoffs, and then, okay, let's win the first round, let's win the second, and, just getting that competitiveness, back, and you know, it's just, it's fun. And, you know, like you said, nothing's guaranteed. There's, you know, you're not guaranteed to go to the playoffs. It's a feat in itself just to get to the playoffs. And then, you know, once you get in there, anything can happen. And, you know, that's why we play the season. That's why we play the regular season. That's why it's so many games, is because, you know, after that many games, it's going to weed out the teams that shouldn't be there. And, you know, you just want to do everything you can to be one of the teams that's standing there at the end.
One of the things I've contended my whole life, both as a baseball fan and then in the last 6 years of actually working in baseball, is that there's no greater atmosphere in sports. There's nothing better than postseason baseball at the ballpark, for my money. There's just an extra energy in the air that you can't really describe. You just kind of have to experience it. So I want to back up to game two last year at Truist Park in the NLDS. Fulte's dominating. Seven innings, hadn't given up a run. We're up 1-0, and Snit decides to pinch hit you for Fulte. And there were a few boos in the stadium, which I don't think weren't for you, but they were kind of booing Snit for the decision of taking Fulte out. They wanted to leave him in. So, and then you respond with a big two run blast that essentially sealed that win for the Braves. And I will say, in my 6 seasons of working in the game, the two loudest moments, and they're tied. I couldn't pick one that was louder than the other. Acuña's grand slam in 2018 in the NLDS, and then your pinch hit homer last year. So take us through that whole moment from being told you're going to hit to, I mean, I don't know if you're able to drown out, but you probably could hear the crowd, and then actually hitting that home run. I mean, and what that must have felt like. Just take us through that whole ordeal, or that whole process.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it started, you know, days before, and we were prepping for, you know, to come off the bench late in a game and try to change the game in some way. And, you know, I felt like I had a lot of good work in the days before, and even leading up to that bat during the game, you know, a couple innings before, we're bouncing back in the cage because, you know, things can change quickly. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready to go when they call your name, you know, whether it's a double switch or you're pinch hitting or, you know, so you kind of know the situation of the game, but you got to be ready, you know, because it can change fast. And, you know, the couple innings leading up to that, I'd been getting my work in the cage, and you know, I felt like my swing was just about as good as it's ever been. And, you know, so then obviously I got the call there walking up to the plate. And I definitely heard the boos. But, you know, being a baseball guy, I understand, you know, they didn't want to see Fulte come out of the game because he was obviously pitching lights out and having an unbelievable game. And I was going up there looking to do damage. I mean, that's kind of my mentality as far as, you know, my approach is try to get something where I can handle it versus that pitcher that night and just, you know, try to get the big part of the bat on the ball. And obviously, you know, he was throwing me a lot of sliders there, and I was getting closer and closer to being on that pitch. And I think that's why Molina went back to the fastball. And, you know, I was able to get a good swing on it and drive it and, you know, do what I had done, you know, previously that year. I felt like I had handled those pitches pretty well. So, you know, I got something I could handle, and obviously I hit a home run. So, you know, that was a big moment for me because, you know, the season hadn't gone exactly the way I wanted it to, but I felt like I prepared and worked, and, you know, it was a very gratifying season in the fact that, you know, I felt like I got better as the season went on. And that's, you know, that's what you look to do.
Yeah. That was one thing I wanted to ask you about is, was that moment that much sweeter given that the year leading up to that and how that had gone for you? Because I think you deserve so much credit for the way you conducted yourself. I mean, you'd established yourself as a big leaguer for a few seasons, had been an all-star, and yet still you went down to Gwinnett, I mean, accepted that assignment. And it seemed, and you went down there and absolutely raked, by the way. It seemed like every day I would show up to the ballpark and we're hearing about you hit another home run last night for the Stripers. I mean, and still, despite the fact that you're raking, it took a while before they brought you back up to Atlanta. And when you did come back up, I think you had 10 bombs in 41 games or something like that. I mean, you kept doing what you've been doing at Gwinnett. So, A, what is your mindset when you have to go back down for a little while into AAA or to the minors? How do you handle that, and how do you do it with such class, first of all? What's your mindset during that? And then does that experience make a moment like that home run in game two a little bit sweeter?
Yeah, so, when I first got sent down, obviously that was news I didn't want to hear. It was a shot to the gut per se, but it was something that happened, and I had to make the most of it. I had to go down there. I knew I had to work and get better. And, I went down there and just said, all right, let's go to work. And let's see how this thing, whole thing plays out. And, I was lucky enough to get down there and be able to get some good work in with Mags and Brumley. And, we kind of just set everything aside and said, okay, let's build this thing back up from the ground up. And, really nothing's off the table. So we tried things, some things didn't work. We tried other things and, it kind of came together there, and I got really comfortable with what we were doing. And as far as the work we were putting in and the drills we were doing, and, I got comfortable. And then, once you get that comfortable feeling back, and, that's when you can start just being you and playing and kind of just letting loose and letting go and letting it fly. So, that was my mindset going down, as far as, when I got the news that I would be sent down to AAA. And so, I'm really proud of myself, the way I handled it and the way I made the most of it, because, it was either going to go one of two ways. It was either going to go south or I was going to come out and be able to get back up to the big league team and get back to playing the way I felt like I could play. And, that's basically was my mindset going down. And then, I think what makes things so special is all the hard work and the sweat, blood, and tears that gets put into whatever you're trying to accomplish, that when you do finally accomplish that, it makes it that much sweeter. And, like I said, it didn't go like I'd planned. But when I did get the call back up, I made the most of it. I tried to do whatever I could to stay there. And, I was just thankful for the opportunity there. I got there in the playoffs, and, I was excited as heck that I came through there.
Well, Adam, you know as well as I do, you've been around a lot of ball players over the years, that it's way more than talent that gets someone to be successful in the game of baseball. It takes a lot of different things. And I've always thought that when you see someone go through adversity, you learn a lot about them. But also, it's like you said, it may not be a punch to the gut, but it is a gut check. It's one of those things where it can define your career. And you've had a couple of those things. I mean, you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and then going through the adversity that you had with going up and down through the minor leagues, which I'll tell you, that's not for the faint of heart. I mean, that's no matter what level you play, that is difficult, whether you're going back to AA or you're going back to single A or going back to AAA. It is very difficult to do, because it is a true test of your grit. It's a test of just, that motivation, self-motivation that you need. But you had to deal with the diabetes as well. And one of the questions that I have been curious about with you is, what things do you have to do differently to be successful as a ball player? Because you have to deal with this on a daily basis. And how does it impact your life? Not just normally, but being an athlete, how does that, because that's just something that's got to be something you've got to take precautions for that no other ball player has to do.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big things for me is to recover. I've got to really take care of my body, because obviously, type 1 diabetes is autoimmune disorder. And so my body doesn't necessarily repair and replenish like everybody else's does. So if my blood sugar is consistently going low or consistently going high, then it's going to wear me down. It's going to change my mood. It's going to change my energy levels. And so for me, you know, it's super important to keep these numbers in check and to, you know, eat right and try to get as much rest as I can, because, you know, like I said, it is difficult day to day, especially traveling. We travel a lot and we're on different time zones and stuff. So, you know, when you're eating at different times, that also affects your blood sugar. So, you know, I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp on it. But it took a lot of research. It took a lot of trial and error. It took a lot of, you know, headaches as far as having to change certain sites. You know, when you get in, it's late at night and, you know, you've got to deal with this. And, but at the same time, technology has come a long way since I've had it, and it's, you know, that's helped tremendously. So, you know, I'm just thankful for the research that's being done and, you know, for the technology.
Yeah. I just, on a personal note, a few months ago, I was starting to have some health issues, and I was having really, really low energy suddenly, like, and it felt like my body was shutting down. And I did in addition to scheduling a doctor's appointment, I did the thing that I vowed never to do, but I was feeling so bad. I went online and started Googling symptoms, because that's just like that's a dangerous route to go anytime. But everything seemed like it was headed towards diabetes. And I kind of thought, and this is true, I'm not just saying this because you're here. One of the thoughts I had was, well, I watched Adam Duvall. I watched this big leaguer go out there, hit a home run in the postseason, watched him play at the highest level of his profession for a few years. If he can handle diabetes and still be a big league ball player, then I can. I work in social media. Then certainly I can handle it and send tweets and just, you know, you know, certainly I should be able to handle that. So it was actually comforting to me to know that there's somebody who, for work, who I follow. Of course, I'd followed your career prior, but whenever the Braves get a new ball player, it's part of my job to know as much about them as possible. But that was a comforting thing to know, okay, if a professional athlete can have this and still live day to day, then I should be able to handle it too. Now, I was fortunate in that it just turned out to be a thyroid issue, which is much easier to handle than diabetes. But when you were first having symptoms and trying to figure out what was going on, I mean, what was that like, and how long did it take for you and the doctors to figure out what was going on?
Yeah. So it started, I actually got strep throat in, I believe it was around November, and November of 2011. And then, you know, so I was sick from that. And then, you know, then I was working out. I was doing 2-a-day workouts, and I was just exhausted. And, you know, so I was talking to my strength coach, and, you know, typical strength coach, he was just trying to push me through it, say, you know, let's go. We got, you know, motivate me and pump me. Maybe I'm just, you know, being a wuss. So I went through that, and then I started to lose a little bit of weight. And that was concerning, because I was eating a lot. I was probably eating more than I ever had before, but yet I was losing weight. So I was thinking, maybe my body's starting to react differently to the workouts. And so, you know, that progressed, and then went to spring training, and I started getting really bad cotton mouth. And then I would wake up 5 or 6 times a night and have to pee. And, you know, so then I kind of got online and did a little bit of research, like you said, which you can go down a rabbit hole there, but you know, all things pointed to diabetes. It was crazy. I was having like 5 of the 6 symptoms or something, you know, something ridiculous. It was, you know, urinating frequently at night, which I had never done. I would never wake up. It was really bad cotton mouth, weight loss, tired, low energy. So, you know, it was, all things were pointing to diabetes. And then we got my blood test back that they do every single year in spring training. And it showed that my glucose levels were higher than normal. So then we went and got an A1C, and sure enough, it was type 1. But for me, it wasn't necessarily terrible news. It was more so of, man, okay, we found out what was going on. Now, how can we fix it? Because, you know, anybody with a health issue can tell you that, you know, that lingering feeling of not knowing what's going on with your body is sometimes worse than actually knowing and being able to fix whatever it is, or or to cope with it. So, you know, I was, you know, I was actually kind of excited to figure out why I was feeling tired, why I was, you know, my body was acting the way it was. And, you know, so after that, I hopped in a couple classes and nutrition classes and just tried to learn as much as I could about it. And then, you know, kind of went on with my season.
That's awesome. So final question for me, obviously we're living in some crazy, extraordinary circumstances right now. And, if you're like any other ball player I've ever known, you're in season mode, you know, you've been preparing, then the great tease, you play 3 weeks of spring training and then they shut you down. Yeah. That's gotta be one of the most difficult things that none of us have experienced that before, but it's one thing to be on strike, going through a strike and not having spring training, you know, go into spring training yet. But right now, what things are you doing just to kind of stay mentally focused? Because they're going to turn the switch on here, I would imagine, pretty shortly, and you'll be headed off somewhere. So how are you coping with that right now?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously everything shut down. So gyms and, so I actually ordered a couple kettlebells online and I've been really surprised. I've been really getting some good workouts in just in my garage. I have a battle rope, couple kettlebells and a medicine ball and a jump rope. And I mean, I've been just kind of making up my circuits as I go. And, you know, I'm really pleased with where I'm at as far as conditioning wise and as far as, you know, weightlifting wise. So, when they give us the call, I'll be ready to go. That's for sure. And then, you know, baseball wise, we found a local little cage here, a couple of guys, we'll go up there and hit you know, do our work there and kind of throw in a parking lot. So right now it's makeshift basically everything because, you know, we're not supposed to be, you know, gathering in groups and, you know, there's really nowhere to get this kind of stuff in. So it's kind of, you kind of got to get your Rocky inspiration on and kind of just make some stuff up and, you know, try to do as best you can.
I mean, that's us with our podcast. We vowed when we started 2 years ago that we would never do an interview over the phone or over the computer. They were all going to be on in person, and boy, life changed that in a hurry.
It does.
Last question for me. So, and a little more on the lighter side of things. So, it's been fun for me to find out from friends and coworkers what sorts of things they've discovered, or maybe new hobbies or new binging things they've been doing during this downtime. Has there been any new hobbies or shows or movies or anything that you've picked up? I know we were talking before we started, you've got a little one in the house, so I imagine that's probably taking up a lot of your time, but what any new hobbies or things you've picked up during this this downtime?
Yeah, so I was talking to my wife and I made a couple goals to get done before quarantine was over. And that was one was finish a book, which I'm almost finished with. One was learn one song on the guitar, which hasn't been too great because you know, it's tough when you don't have someone to teach you. It's tough to learn the guitar, man. It's you know, I've tried to get on YouTube and learn as much as I can, but it's really kicking my butt right now. And then the other one is to train my dog, and that's not going very well either. he's pretty stubborn in his ways, so we're working on it though. But those were the three things that I wanted to accomplish before quarantine is over.
That's great. What song would you want to learn if you could pick one?
Probably, I don't have a specific one, but it would be probably an Eric Church or a Luke Combs. And I've tried to pick, like, get on YouTube and pick the easiest one of each. And it's tough to teach yourself the guitar. That's for sure. I know a little bit of Wonderwall, but that's about it.
Greg and I both play guitar, and I can't speak for Greg. I know just enough about guitar to mess up some really great songs. So, the great thing, I grew up on country music too. The great thing is, if you can eventually just get three chords down, you'll be able to play at least 50% of every country song ever.
GCD, baby.
Yeah. So that would be that. Like, So you'd say pick three chords and learn those, and then that will help a lot.
Well, not any three chords. Just learn G, C, D. Just learn those three. GCD. And he's saying 50% of the country songs are going to incorporate those three chords.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. The toughest thing for me is to get the strumming pattern.
Yeah.
But I think with anything, practice, I think it'll help out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a cool app, little shout out called Musician.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool. It takes you through a daily thing that you can do and I think it's free, but then you got to pay to open, like other things, you got to pay to open up more of it, but that's an interesting little app. So if you want to,
it's
just on your phone.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I appreciate that. Yeah. I need something because I'm stuck right now. That's for sure.
Well, Ricky and I have been threatening to do another. Ricky's famous for parodies, so he's made some. If you go on YouTube, you can look him up. He's done some parodies. But we've been threatening to do one together.
Nice. So, I'll check those out.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Adam, so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now runners at second and third. And here is Adam Duvall again, his second plate appearance. Martinez deals, and that one's driven into center field. Bader coming in, can't get it. It's down. One run is in. Ortega, here comes Swanson. He will score. And Adam Duvall strikes again. A two RBI double for Duvall. 3-1 Atlanta in the ninth.
Our thanks again to Braves slugger. I was just saying, Adam Duvall, I was just saying, Greg, a minute ago while we weren't taping, that I almost wanted to call Adam an infielder because I was watching Luke Jackson in the MLB Players League tournament on MLB The Show. He wanted Adam's bat in his lineup, so he just played Adam at third every game and had him at the heart of the lineup. So I want to call Adam an infielder, outfielder, but then you pointed out he played a little first base for the Giants. So I guess he is an infielder, outfielder then.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades. Well, our thanks to Adam for joining us. He was great. Really, really cool story that goes beyond the field, the off-the-field stuff that he's had to contend with and manage. And he's just done such a great job with that. So, again, it bears repeating, not just being a big leaguer with type 1 diabetes. And we didn't even get into the specifics, I mean, the equipment you have to wear on your body and the constant management of diet, nutrition, doing the right things at the right times. I mean, it's a full-time job in of itself, just managing that condition and then managing it while being an all-star level player at the highest level of professional sports is pretty amazing. So thanks to Adam for joining us and talking about all that.
Yeah, well, think about it. It's so important to eat at the right time of the day. And when you're playing baseball games that sometimes don't get over till 11 o'clock at night and trying to eat, you know, and it's more complicated, obviously. And I really appreciated having Adam on. He's got a lot that he has to deal with on a daily basis. Like you said, as a ball player, as a new dad, as a new husband, and then, you know, just trying to be a big leaguer. So it was great to hear a story. I always love hearing the stories and being able to talk to the current team, being the alumni director. A lot of times I don't get to spend much time with these guys till after their career's over. So obviously this podcast is real important to me to be able to talk with some of these guys. I know we've spent most of our time interviewing guys as soon as they sign, like we did with Josh and BMAC and some of the other guys, but it's always great to be able to have them on during the season, right? This is the season, which is interesting. I remember when we had Jerry Blevins on last year, that was definitely a highlight, being able to talk to somebody in the bullpen and hopefully when the season starts, we'll be able to get some guys on too. But it's always great because that, you know, my job is about relationships. So being able to just meet Adam, talk to him and to hear his story was pretty good. And hey, I appreciate it. I felt like I was at the Masters some of the times. He was out on his back porch. You could hear those birds going at it. I felt like Tiger was getting ready to make a putt.
That was. I kept waiting for Jim Nance to break in, like just slide in our Zoom chat here and just go, "Hello, friends." You know? Yeah. I was like, man, it's the weather is much nicer where Adam's at right now than it is in Atlanta today. So
yeah,
it does look a little dark over here at my place. I don't know about yours. But yeah, that was nice. There's birds chirping, more pleasant. So again, thank you to Adam Duvall, and hopefully we'll get to see him and the rest of our Braves out on the field sooner rather than later. Again, we don't know any more than you guys do, but it certainly seems like there's progress being made out there towards hopefully having a season. What that season is going to look like, I don't know. I mean, we can pontificate a little bit, I guess, Greg. I mean, when I'll be honest, this is just my personal opinion. Again, however they want to figure this out so that we can have baseball in 2020, I'm all for it. It doesn't matter to me. I will admit that the all 30 teams in Arizona plan, I just didn't see how that could work. Again, if they could figure it out and the players were okay with it, then hey, let's go. Similarly, the idea of splitting the teams up in, okay, we'll have half in Arizona, half in Florida, I didn't know about that one either. These other scenarios that have been reported out there where maybe there'll be a realignment and teams still get to play in their home ballparks, but then they'll play the teams closest to them geographically with no fans in the ballpark starting out. That was the first one where I kind of – and again, I have zero insight on this. I just read it and I'm like, well – That seems to me a little bit more feasible than some of the other plans I've seen. But again, I don't know. What do you, as a former player, I mean, if you could put yourself back in the shoes of a current player and going through this, I mean, what do you think your mindset would be when you're hoping for baseball and then there's all these wild scenarios being thrown out there? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it reminds me a little bit about when we were going through the strike in 95 at the beginning, and every day there was something as the, you know, we were supposed to be in spring training starting the middle of February. That deadline got passed, and then now every day there's a new scenario about what's going to happen with the season, because now as spring training gets delayed, the season gets delayed. And so I kind of dealt with that a little bit from the standpoint of not knowing and always hearing what might happen. Listen, we weren't even, if you listen to some of the so-called experts, some of them were talking like, you know, we weren't going to do anything till for 18 months, you know, and then it was a year. I mean, here we are in April, and we've already, the country's already started opening up. So I think this thing's changing on a daily basis. And as we continue to see positive signs of the numbers going down, and I think this thing can ramp up pretty quickly if we continue to see positive trends. So who knows what's going to happen in the next 3 days, a week, much less, you know, a month. So I would anticipate if we're really seeing the trends in a positive direction like we're seeing right now, that this game is so much bigger than just throwing a little white ball around. We know that after 9/11 and some of the stories that came out of that, I experienced that, and some of the things that are going on now, that as a country, live sports just does something for us. We love our sports. We love our baseball. And that if there's any way we can get this thing going sooner than later, we're going to find a way to do it. Listen, if we could keep Home Depot open during this whole crisis, and we had every grocery store in America open during this crisis, we can figure out a way to get baseball going sooner than July 4th. So I would imagine that we've got some pretty smart people that are working in baseball. I think they'll figure it out. But either way, I'm excited that we're at least trending in a very positive way, as opposed to it going the other way. So I'm very hopeful that we'll see the guys heading to spring training, hopefully sometime in May.
That would be fantastic. My thought. Yeah, that would be fantastic. I hope you're right about that. And again, imagining whether there's fans, obviously in the perfect world, you would have fans there when we first come back, but I don't see any scenario where that probably, at least from everything I've read, where that's going to happen initially. If we want it back sooner, then we probably need to do it without fans. But I think just to have live sports or something there for folks to watch, would just be such a huge lift for everybody. It really would. Yeah. I tell you, I don't know if I've said this on Behind the Braves in the last couple episodes or not, but I knew that I was a person that pretty much just watched sports all day, every day as it was. But it wasn't until this thing hit that I realized just how much of my day is consumed by live sports. I mean, man, once it's gone, it's just like, my goodness, what am I watching? I mean, Tiger King kept me entertained for a day or two. Then it was like, all right, what's the next thing now?
Hey, here's my plan. Okay, so as soon as the first game is scheduled, you get to put five people in every section, okay? And then after a week, if the numbers don't go up, then you get to put 10 people in each section. And so you just keep adding as everybody, the world doesn't dissolve into more chaos. As the numbers go down, you get more people get to accept the lottery that you're going to do. Uh-huh. So that's my bet. That way you start with fans. There may only be 25 fans, but at least it's not dead silence. At least somebody's cheering, or else they make all the employees go out there and we cheer and they spread us all around the ballpark. That's my plan. We're going to do a lottery. We're going to put five people in each section. I don't know. I can't remember how many sections we have in the ballpark, but we could at least have 100 fans there, spread them all around that big old ballpark. And then if nothing happens after a week, then we'll double it. And then we'll just keep doubling it until by August, we'll have, 10,000 people there, and then we just keep moving on. So anyway, that's my safe rollout plan for the Atlanta Braves. And I think that's a good strategy.
My plan is to put a bunch of Greg McMichael cardboard cutouts in the seats like they've been doing over in the, I don't know if it's the CPBL, which league it is. I don't know if it's the Chinese league or whichever league it is.
Taiwan or Korea, I think.
So one of the leagues, whichever league it is over there that has started, and they've got those cardboard cutouts. I'm like in the stands. I'm like, all right, well, let's get a bunch of McMichael cutouts and we'll be good to go.
Are they piping some cheering? Every time there's a hit?
I don't know. I don't know. I did watch. maybe. I did watch a little bit of – I saw some clips of from about 5 years ago when the game was played in Baltimore in front of no fans after there were the riots and the things that were going on in that city, which were – pretty scary, and they decided to – I think – I can't remember if it was more than one game, but I was watching some of the replays of that game, and I remember it was – it seemed odd, but at the same time, I was trying to then put that scenario into current day, and I'm like, well, that's okay. I want fans back eventually, but, hey, if we can play this game in front of no fans for a little bit, and it'll still be okay, because then at least we'll have to have baseball on our televisions and radios. Mm-hmm. Again, that would be great. So I think you mentioned the July 4th date. If to have baseball playing on July 4th, whether it's before or on, whether it starts around that day, hopefully before, but to have it playing at all, to have it playing this July 4th, I think would be a little extra special. July 4th is one of those dates on the baseball calendar that's always special, but to have it playing on July 4th, 2020 would be a little extra special that day, personally.
Agreed.
All right, buddy. Well, I think we've entertained the folks a little bit for the last 45 minutes or so. I'm sure that they enjoyed Adam Duvall. So hopefully they enjoyed us as well. But as long as they enjoyed Adam, then that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. But thank you, as always, for listening to Behind the Braves presented by Billy Reed. And, hey, if you're not doing anything the next couple of nights, tune in to Fox Sports Southeast and watch Greg McMichael and the 1995 Braves take on the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. That's, again, what do we got coming up tonight? This should come out on the night of game 4, I believe. So we're halfway through. So
I think I gotta go get ready. I got a couple innings in me tonight.
I feel like you might have a couple innings in you tonight. Yeah, we'll see.
I think it actually starts spitting snow tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know what's interesting? The people can't see this out there. We are recording this, as I mentioned earlier, over Zoom, so I can see you. This is the first time since we've been doing this show you're wearing a Braves hoodie, like the warm-up. It's like you're in the bullpen right now. Like you you literally do look like you're getting ready to get up and just start stretching out a little bit and getting ready. So
I'm ready to go. Yeah, this is – like I said, I've been a little nervous watching the games just because I haven't seen. You know, we all have seen Game Six, the clip of us clinching and we're jumping on the pile. Marquise catches the ball and all that. But seeing Game One, Two, Three, Four, Five, and all the little things that happened, all the little things that happened is pretty amazing because I didn't remember. I was texting Clancy last night, and I'm like, "Dude, you were nasty! I can't believe how hard you were throwing from the side." And then Whoa Daddy with that big mullet was pretty funny, and you know, just some of the things. How bad? Oh, I don't know. I didn't mean to get into this, but one of the things I loved was if you watched. I think it was Game Two. We had a chance to blow the game open, and Fremming blows a play where the Cleveland shortstop, which was Omar Vizquel, bobbles the ball, steps on the bag. He never has control, and he drops it, and Devereaux slides in, and he still calls him out. Bobby's livid. Of course, nobody likes Fremming. We couldn't stand him. He was old. He was crotchety. He would never ask for help. And sure enough, there's eight umpires on the field. He still won't ask for help. He keeps – Bobby's just livid. He's running out there. We get just him in his best arguing the call, and Fremming won't budge. He won't ask the third base umpire. He won't ask the home plate. He wants the first base. It's clear that he drops the ball and that he wasn't throwing it or trying to throw it. And, I mean, that was just a classic moment. So being able to relive that and see that was pretty amazing because I didn't remember that. But I wouldn't have unless I got a chance to watch it again. So that was a lot of fun.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. We've all seen Game Six, the Marquise catching the final out. We've seen Justice hitting the home run in that game. We've seen that highlight a bunch of times. But it's most of us probably haven't seen this series in its entirety or in since it happened. And to be able to go back and relive that has been. It's been so much fun. And again, for me, I know we're living it through different ways in that you were on the team and I was just a kid watching it, but it's seeing that lineup. We've been putting out the old school, our creative team with the Braves have been putting out these graphics, old school graphics that are just so cool. Kind of has that 95 look to it or like it would have looked on TV, a little slightly grainy or whatever. It's been so cool. So for me, it's like rekindles those memories. I see that lineup, that list of players and what that team meant to me. And so to watch you guys go through that journey again has been really fun. And by the way, you mentioned that that playlist earlier. I saw Insung from Braves Creative. He sent us the first, the first version, but I assume it'll be the final version of the music playlist. And it is awesome. First of all, you guys' choices are very interesting. The way he designed it is very cool. So be on the lookout for that on Braves social media. By the time this episode comes out tonight, it might be out there already. So that's going to be
pretty. Yeah, we should have one more coming out. I'm working on another one, so hopefully that'll be out before Game Six. But yeah, that lineup. You think about having to face Chipper, McGriff, Justice, and Klesko back to back to back to back was pretty intimidating.
Definitely was. Well, yeah, definitely check that out. Fox Sports Southeast. And then Fox Sports are putting out a lot of the clips and promotional stuff on their social channels. And then we're helping support that on Braves social channels as well. So check all that out if you haven't already. And so thanks again to Adam Duvall for joining us and spending some time with us here. And hey, hopefully we're playing baseball soon. In the meantime, we'll keep plugging along here and figuring out how to crank out new episodes of Behind the Braves presented by Billy Reid. And thank you to all of you for listening. Thanks to Braves Media Relations for hooking us up with Adam today. And if you haven't already liked, reviewed, subscribed, all that good stuff Behind the Braves, go ahead and do that. We appreciate it. Good and bad, we read them all and we appreciate them all. So thank you all to everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.
Hey, Braves Country, we just wanted to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe Behind the Braves presented by Billy Reid on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Braves.com/Behind the Braves, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.